welcome to the Society of Biology podcast. My name is Zara Gladman, and today I'm going to be taking a sneak peek at some of the events going on around the country as part of Biology Week 2012, which runs from the 13th to the 19th of October. Okay, I'm sitting here with three of the people responsible for the first ever Biology Week, so maybe we could start by just going around the table and introducing ourselves.
I'm Rebecca Nesbitt, and I'm the Press Officer at the Society of Biology.
I'm Jenna Stephen-Smith, and I'm the Public Engagement and Events Executive at the Society of Biology.
And I'm Mark Downes, and I'm the Chief Executive of the Society of Biology.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me today. I'll start off with quite a basic question for Mark. What is Biology Week?
Well, Biology Week, I think, is a real celebration of what biology is all about. We have a tremendous organisation which is hugely diverse, and that reflects just the nature and breadth of biology, and it covers everything from forestry and marine biology through to genetics and immunology and everything in between. And it's a celebration actually of what that does, how exciting it is, how it contributes to the lives of people around the country and around the world. And it's aimed at the public, but of course people who are biologists of all shapes and forms, we hope will take part and gain something from it as well, because a lot of the time it's about hearing what other people say, learning something outside of your field, even if you're a biologist. So basically a big party, but hopefully with a purpose that educates people along the way.
Great. So what kind of events should we expect from Biology Week then? If you could give us a taster.
Well, I suppose, first of all, is the range, because we have member organisations covering all the different disciplines of biology. And some of those are putting on their own events. The Society itself is putting on some very specific events. We're going to do some interesting things with the Guinness Book of Records, where we're looking to break a world record with a memory game, and that looks to be like a lot of fun. And we're hoping people from around the country will join in with that. We're also going to have some lectures debating topical issues and some controversial issues. Mm-hmm. And we'll be getting together with our members to celebrate a range of activities, including things like the quality of photography in biology and how science and biology in particular is communicated.
Great, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, one of the first events that's planned, you said we're talking about controversial topics, is the Do We Need Pandas debate. And I caught up with Mark Avery, and we'll be hearing from him later on. But moving on to the second day of the week, that's Tuesday the 16th, there's going to be quite a glamorous, glitzy event here in Darwin House, and that's the Science Communication and Photography Awards. Now, you touched on it there. Mark, can you give us a bit more detail about what this is, what the point of this is?
So for a few years now, we've been trying to encourage people to talk about the science they undertake, why biology is important, what it means for them, what it means for other people. And to be able to communicate science these days is probably just as important as doing the research itself. So we have these very prestigious awards where we invite researchers in the fairly early start of their career or later on in their career, two different categories, to come along and submit their applications and tell us why they communicate science well and how they do that. And we have a rigorous process we go through, and we're going to hear from the winner of that at the awards ceremony. And in parallel, we're having a photography competition to celebrate biology in a different way, to see how biology can change the world. And actually, the research that biologists have done over the last century have made a huge impact in the lives of us all. And I think we're looking to see how we can celebrate that through photography. And, you know, we all say that photograph is worth a thousand words. And having looked at the images, actually, I think that's pretty much true.
Yeah, I've seen some of the shortlists and they're pretty amazing. The judges have got quite a tough decision to make, but look forward to that. But as well as some of the fantastic photography, there's also going to be a presentation at the awards by Dr. Adam Hart. And he's going to be presenting the results of this flying ant survey. And if you've not heard about this survey already, then Rebecca here is an expert. So what is this all about then?
Well, I mean, Flying Ant Day is one of the summer spectacles, and for lots of people this brings back memories of school holidays. So there's great anecdotes, but we wanted to turn that into a scientific study. So we asked everyone who saw a swarm of flying ants this year to go onto our website and log their findings. And we had a fantastic response, and over 6,000 people told us when and where they'd seen flying ants. Wow. So we were looking at things like, is Flying Ant Day the same in Scotland as it is in England?
And be interested to know.
And are the ants going to come out when it's sunny?
Wow, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the results are from that. Another event which caught my eye was the Royal Veterinary College Lates, and that's happening on Thursday the 18th. Now, museum lates seem to be quite a popular thing these days, but this is the first time that the Royal Veterinary College have actually opened their doors, so it's pretty exciting. So, Jenna, you're one of the chief organisers of this, so what can you tell us? What's going on there?
Well, firstly, the Royal Veterinary College is an incredible building, and it's a real coup to actually be able to open up to the public. And the people at the RVC were really keen to showcase the amazing things they have inside there, which include the Anatomy Museum, where there's going to be tours and you can explore the museum, all different specimens they have there. You're going to be able to get hands-on with science with the actual researchers at the RVC. And you're going to have the opportunity to see some anatomical drawing. And then also there's going to be a couple of live lectures and demonstrations, including live dissection and a lecture from Dr. Holger, who's going to be talking about epilepsy.
Fantastic. You know, I'm quite excited about actually getting to go inside that building. Now, last thing, you mentioned this world record. How good are your memories?
Fantastic.
Good memories?
Absolutely, yeah. I remembered we're doing the record, which is the main thing.
Yeah. So
what did I say I was called again?
Oh dear, we're going to struggle a bit. So yeah, this world record attempt, Becky, what's this about?
So we are trying to set the world record for the world's largest memory game. So in venues up and down the country, in schools, in universities, in our member organisations, for 10 minutes on the Friday the 19th of October, we're going to have people playing a memory game. Ooh. So they'll be read a list of words and they'll be asked how much they can remember.
Okay, well, so are you all going to be taking part in this? Or
Definitely, yes. This is a special event at Charles Darwin House as well.
This could get quite competitive, I reckon. You know, who's...
I fear it might.
But yeah, that sounds like a memorable way to finish the week. So,
we're looking for lots and lots of people to get involved, whether people have a school they'd like to sign up and do the record there, or whether they'd like to visit a school and help out. As many people as possible. It'd be great to have them involved.
And as well as being a fun event, I mean, there is a serious side to it, which is that there's lots of supporting material to go alongside it to help us understand a little bit more about neuroscience and memory and the biology underlying it. So hopefully there's two parts to it, fun and education.
So it sounds like it'll be very worthwhile. You can find out more about other events that are going on as part of Biology Week if you check out our website, societyofbiology.org. And thanks again to the three of you for taking the time to give us a little taster of what's going on. Very much looking forward to it. Hope you are too.
Right. We certainly are.
Thank you.
I mentioned earlier that on Monday the 15th of October, there's going to be a public debate on Do We Need the Panda? Choosing Which Species to Save. I caught up with Mark Avery, former conservation director at the RSPB, who's one of the panellists. Here's what he had to say. Now, Mark, they're big, they're cuddly, they're charismatic, they're iconic. Why wouldn't you want to save the panda?
Well, I would, because of all those reasons. I've never seen one. I'd love to see a panda in the wild, because I think that would take me to an exciting place where there'd be lots of other wildlife. And probably if you save the panda, you'd save all that other wildlife as well. So I would want to save the panda, but you haven't told me how easy it will be, how much it will cost, and what other things we could spend the money on. So do I want to save the panda? Yes. But then do I want to save every threatened species? Yes. And nature conservationists have to make choices, and those are difficult choices. And so, I don't know, you better give me a list of 10 species and then ask me which is the best bet to save, I think. And those are the types of things I think we'll be talking about in this debate. Not just what we want to do, but what can we do and what's the best use of conservation money.
That was just a taste of what we can expect from Mark and the other panellists at our live debate, which is happening on Monday the 15th of October. You can visit societyofbiology.org/panda to register for your free ticket, have your say, and send in your questions. We'd also love to hear your views on Twitter, so you can follow us on @society_biology or #pandadebate. Remember, Biology Week is a nationwide affair with events running from Devon to Dundee. To find out what's happening in your local area, or get help with organising your own event, check out our website. That brings us to the end of today's podcast. But to finish off, here's a clip of me impressing Mark Avery, the bird expert, with a witty observation. I have one more question for you, a burning question.
Right.
Has anybody ever commented that your surname is sort of loosely associated with birds?
You're the first person. Well, you're the first person today, anyway. Quite a few people have, and it's popped up in New Scientist and newspapers in lists of people whose names are appropriate for what they do. So, well spotted.
Well, my surname's Gladman, so I don't know what that makes me.
Happy.
Happy, yeah. Thank you for listening to the Society of Biology podcast. The Society of Biology's aim is to support everyone who has an interest in biology and to promote the life sciences to the public and policymakers. For more information or to get involved, you can visit our website, www.societyofbiology.org, follow us on Twitter @society_biology, or find us on facebook.com/societyofbiology.